That was beautiful. Well, ladies, I don't think I've been to a conference where every single person dressed up. But here you are all with your skulls on. What a great job. Just brought the spirit, decided to bring your skulls with you today. Thank you for that. It would have been very scary had you not. Very scary. Paul, we have a picture of my family on the screen. Some of you haven't met me, and then a year has passed. And so I've got my husband, Eli, and my four kids. What are their names again? Oh, yeah, Titus, Zoe, Silas, and Kelly. Sometimes my kids will ask me, maybe your kids ask you, Mom, do you have a favorite? And I say, kids, you don't have to worry about Mom having a favorite. Mommy doesn't like any of you. And that makes them feel so much better. Makes them feel so much better. So I try to tell them that a lot. The next picture is something that happened to me back in December. I turned old. Not front row old, but old. I see who you're keeping company with, Becky. You're old. And so I turned 40 in December on a Saturday. That Sunday morning, come out of the morning service, there's a giant 40 in the lobby. And I said, honey, you are very lucky. I am comfortable telling people my age. I don't know a lot of pastors' wives that would be okay with a giant 40 in the lobby, and it's not the church's anniversary, right? It's your age, front and center. There it is. And everybody was taking pictures in front of the 40. You say, Faith, how old are you? I'm old enough to start having a yearly mammogram old. I am old enough that when I'm late, I don't think pregnancy. I think menopause. That's what I think. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of, to the book that talks about wisdom. So what book are we going to? Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs. Now, we're going to show verses on the screen that we're going to read together. But if you want to jot a little note down by the verses in Proverbs, then at least it will be open, okay? And our first verse is Proverbs 25. That's where we are. And our topic today on the next screen, Paul, is Thar She Blows. And we're talking about wisdom with words. We're going to pray, and then we're going to jump right in. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this ladies' conference. It seems like this has been the most exciting one in quite a long time. And absolutely have loved it already. I love this conference, how it makes us laugh, and then the next second it makes us cry. And we feel all the things, but then we learn something from your word that we can leave different if we choose to. And I pray that we'll get some wisdom tonight. Be with my mind and my thoughts as I speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at the first one here. The very first one is Proverbs 25:11. And we're going to read this verse together. And as we read these verses, we're going to read them kind of peppy. We don't have to talk like a pirate while we do it, but we're going to keep it moving, okay? So read this with me. Ready? Begin. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. What that means is when someone says the right thing at the right time, it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Isn't it just a beautiful thing? I remember years ago, I just had one child at the time, and I spoke at this ladies' conference to everybody for the first time. I was so nervous. That didn't stop the speakers from hazing me the whole time. And it's not called hazing. What is it called? Heckling. Heckling me the whole time. But, you know, I got through it. Well, went to lunch, and I remember Mrs. Walker walked through the room, and as soon as she saw me, she did this. Faith, you knocked it out of the park. Now, to be honest, I really just made it to first, and probably just because the pitcher beamed me. But I did not make a home run on that lesson. But she said that. And that meant a lot. That is what it means to have a word fitly spoken. With wisdom. I don't know if you're interested in the royal family. I'm interested in everybody's business. That's probably why I'm interested in the royal family in England. But they have this little little protocol that if something happens in the country, they will say, does something need to be said? Does it need to be said now? And does it need to be said by me? Think about that. Now, those are not Bible verses, but I think there are principles that could back that up. When something happens in our church, online, in our home, could we ask, does something need to be said? Does it need to be said now? And does it need to be said by me? Good questions. Now, Proverbs gives us lots of wisdom when it comes to words. And although Solomon never intended for me to, I'm going to demonstrate it with balloons, okay? Now, I did this talk at Hopewell in Sunday school at Thanksgiving. So if you've heard a little bit of it, bear with me. I've added some. Is this the only bag? I thought I had two. Was there another one that went somewhere? That's okay. What effort went into this one? This is what I want to, say. But thank you, teen boys, for blowing those up so I did not have to. Let's look at the first point here. We're going to look at the spiked balloon. Let's look at Proverbs 18:8. Read that with me. Ready? Begin. The words of a talebearer, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Growing up, we played balloon volleyball in our house. You put up a couple chairs, and you're just hitting the balloon back and forth. It was a cheap game on a rainy day, and we played that. And we still play it in our home. And balloon volleyball is just like slow motion real volleyball. You're bumping, setting, and then spiking it as hard as you could, and it was like a slow motion spike, right? But in real volleyball, if you've been playing, have you ever been spiked on in the face? I don't know what it is, but when you get hit in the nose, the screen senses just immediately go up to your brain, don't they? You get spiked on. That is what we can do with our words. Now, we have all been spiked on. We have. There, in our lives, there have been people who intentionally hurt us with their words. There have been people who accidentally hurt us with their words, but they hurt us. But on the flip side, we have also all spiked on other people with our words. I remember a lady when I was pregnant, she said, Faith, when you're pregnant, you look like a popcorn ball with arms. But then how many of us have asked someone, when's the baby due? And it's not. We have hurt people too, whether intentionally or not. I remember somebody telling me, complaining that she had such a hard time gaining weight. And I said, I don't feel sorry for you one bit. And then later I thought, wait a minute. She probably has these health conditions, right, that she's struggling with. And just because I can't relate to her pain doesn't mean I shouldn't muster some compassion. Sometimes we just say things and it hurts people. Go on to the next one. Let's look at the squeaky balloon. Let's read together Proverbs 27:15. Ready? Begin. So what does a contentious woman sound like? Let me see if I can do it. There it is. There it is. Contentious woman. Do you know the song? A continual dropping on a rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Do you know the song? A continual dropping on a rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. For the one goes drip, drip, drip and the other goes nag, nag, nag. For the one goes drip, drip. Don't teach it to your husbands, okay? You don't want that sung to you at all. Long time ago, my mom came to watch our kids when my husband and I went out of town. And when we came back, every wall clock had been removed from the walls, wrapped in towels, and put in the laundry room. Because she could not sleep with the tick, 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 tick. It was driving her batty. She couldn't take it. And that's what it is when we are contentious and we're always bringing up these things that bother us and we are like the squeaky balloon. Let me tell you, the difference between asking and nagging is the timing. Think about that one.
Amen.
There it is. It's the timing. If we were to say, hey, when you got a minute, I want to ask you something. Versus the second they walk in the door. Versus the second they do the thing, jumping on them and picking at them. That's the difference between asking and nagging is the timing. I've been trying to teach my kids to read the room. And I will tell them, kids, read the room. If mom's head is in the oven, getting out the tater tots, not having a nervous breakdown, but getting out the tater tots, that is not the time to tell me in detail about your dream. You know what I'm saying? Let me just say this to everybody. Nobody wants to hear about your dream. Nobody wants to know what you dreamed. You know those people, I had a dream last night, and then 10 minutes, maybe it's just me, okay? But I'm telling our kids, read the room. If the table is a little tense because there's so much noise going on, just wait. Wait to launch into your story. Learn to read the room. Recently, I was talking with my kids, and one of my kids, and he was into this animated story. He was very animated. I don't know where he gets it. And I was looking at him, listening, and then I thought, I think we're going to need to get him braces pretty soon. But I didn't say anything, because I thought, if he's pouring himself into this story, and then I say, hey, son, I don't mean to interrupt, but do you think you're going to need some braces? What am I saying to him? I'm saying I'm not listening to him. I'm just thinking what needs fixing about him. Sometimes things will come up. Maybe somebody pronounces a word wrong, you know, and we are Miss Thesaurus. Or someone does something that maybe will need correcting. Or it's okay to say, but the timing needs to be right. Or we are the contentious woman that is just drip, 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 correcting and nagging. Look at number 3 up on the board, Proverbs 16:1. We have the keepy-uppy balloon, obviously taken from the best show on television, Bluey, okay? But Proverbs 16:1, let's read that together. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer is from the Lord. So keepy-uppy, you've seen these games before, where you see how long can we keep it up without it touching the ground, because obviously the floor is lava, and then we have 2 going, and then maybe 3, and we see how close we can get to the stairs without looking. Okay, we're good. We're going to stop there. All right, you get the point, right? That was so much fun. I'm starting to feel young again. That feels good. Learn to tread carefully. This verse, the preparations of the heart, it really means you're thinking and then the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. It means you're going to prepare an answer before it just comes out of the cannon. You're going to think about it first. You know, there are subjects that don't offend us. And we say, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. Well, why would anybody be offended by that? But sometimes people are offended by it based on what they have gone through in their lives. And just because we haven't gone through it doesn't mean we shouldn't think about others that not just it could offend, but it could hurt. Thinking before we speak. We have speakers come to our church, and my husband tells them, if you are preaching the truth from the Word of God, you'll get an amen. You can preach strong, and you can preach hard on sin. But if you are making fun of sin or imitating certain lifestyles, we don't do that here. Because sin is not funny. And there are people in the audience that are grieving over people in certain lifestyles, and they don't think it's funny. Preach the truth in love. In love. That is the biblical thing to do. Now, sometimes I can think, people just need to get thicker skin. Do you ever think that? And I think some people do. I think in our culture, people get offended about absolutely everything. Everything offends them. It seems like they're looking to be offended. But I wonder if it is my calling in life to toughen them up. I wonder if this is why I've been put on this beautiful blue marble of earth to toughen people up. I don't think so. I don't think so. And if in doubt, always go to the verse, love never faileth. Go back to that. Go back to that. Years ago, Hopewell was doing this ladies' conference, and there was a skit video they were thinking to show. This pre-made video was very funny. But before showing it, they sent it to several speakers to have a look at. They sent it to me. I watched it, and I text right back, this is hilarious. Absolutely would be so funny. Definitely. They sent it to Mrs. Cavanis. You're nodding. And she said, this is a great video, and it's very funny. But have you considered that it might offend this person in the audience? And they didn't show it. They didn't show it at ladies' conference. As you see me later, I'll send you the link, and you can watch it, because it truly was funny. But wisdom is thinking, would we rather have something funny and offend half the crowd or err on the side of caution? And so when we speak to people, we need to tread carefully, to be very careful. You know, when we think of our words, sometimes we can think of the face-to-face conversations with people. But we use our words in a lot more than that. It can be a little comment in passing. It could be how we respond when someone says, how are you doing? It can be a text message or an email. Even when we like a post, we are saying, I agree or I approve. Our tone of voice. We use words a lot, not just in a sit-down conversation over coffee. We use words in a lot of ways. So I want us to be thinking using those words. Number four, let's go on. Proverbs 12:18. Let's look at this one. Are we there? Okay, ready, begin. We got conjoined twins here. They're stuck together. Look at that. There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. What are your motives for saying the thing that you say? What are your motives is the question. I was telling my mom and aunt this today. We had a high school girl. She was a senior. She came out of the womb smiling. You know, one of those bubbly people. She was all the time bubbly. She would sing solos and smile, but she reached out to visitors and welcomed people. Just a sweet, smiley girl all the time. Well, one Sunday, she sang a solo, hardly a smile, just hardly at all. I thought, well, that's strange. And then I watched her that Sunday, and she walked by very subdued. Watched her that Sunday, watched her that Wednesday, same thing. And I thought, okay, we're going to figure out what's wrong. So I asked her mom, hey, can I meet your daughter early for coffee at church? Oh, yeah. So I talked to her, and I said, what's going on? What do you mean? And I described it, and she said, oh, you noticed? I said, girl, it's like a billboard. You know, I said, what happened? She said, well, somebody told me that I was being fake. A person in authority told her, you're just being fake. You don't have to be smiley all the time. You don't have to be happy all the time. Mrs. Moffitt, you don't have to have joy all the time. You're just being fake. And so she's been trying to tone it down. And I said, trying to be loyal to different authorities in the church, right? I said, girl, sometimes grown-ups are wrong. Sometimes grown-ups are wrong. And they see something and they make the wrong judgment call. I said, you can search your heart and is there any truth to that? And when you don't find any, you keep on smiling. Smiling doesn't mean you're pretending that nothing's wrong. It means you're choosing a right spirit in spite of what is wrong. And I told my husband, and he said, somebody crushed the butterfly. And that's what he did. Somebody thought, you know what? I'm going to help this girl. Plug your ears, ladies. I warned you. Actually, I loved that, so... that just felt good. Sometimes it just feels good to stab something. Yeah. With a pen. Okay. Can I touch on something? Are you ready? I've been itching to do this, to talk about this. Actually, I crossed out half the stuff I was itching to say, and I said, Faith, don't go on a tangent. Stay focused. The biggest thing that I see that ladies do to pop the joy in someone is when we put shame and guilt on someone for their food choices. Their food choices. Why do we say things to other people like, how many calories is in that? Why do we say that? Have we invited them to be our life coach or invited them into that conversation or have they invited us? Why do we say things like that? I don't know. I was coming up from breakfast in a hotel. I was at a conference years ago and another speaker was coming down and I said, you have to check out those cinnamon rolls in the lobby. They were flaky and cinnamony. They were so good. And she said, oh, I wonder how many calories were in those. And I said, I don't care. They were delicious. And I was thinking, eat them or don't. Why are you putting that on me? You know I ate one. I didn't care. Are you going to eat all of that? What does that mean? That means, are you going to be a cow and eat all of that? That is what we're saying. So sweetly. Oh, you haven't lost the baby weight yet? Hang in there. Look, my child is only 14. I have time. But I would just hate to see you let yourself go. You know, I have your best in mind. That's why I'm saying that. I thought you were on a diet. I thought you were on a diet. What do we think? You quit another one? That's what we're saying. We say these little things. Or we don't say them to others. We say them to ourselves. This is my cheat day. I'm just having fun at ladies' conference because we feel like we need to explain our food choices. You're an adult. You do not have to explain why you ordered that or why you chose not to order that. You don't have to explain. You can just order it and eat it. Just like that. Sometimes we think we're supposed to be on a diet forever, so we assume other people feel the same way. Or we feel ashamed of the food choices we're making, so we're putting it on other people. And you know what we're doing? Plug your ears. That's what we're doing. Look. She's going to eat the thing she ordered anyway. She doesn't need a side of shame with it. She already got ketchup. She's going to eat it anyway. Why shame her? But now, I don't know why we're doing this. Now, I know why the world is doing this. They're trying to sell diet supplements and diet shakes and weight loss programs and get skinny cookbooks. They're trying to sell all that so they want us to make us feel bad. But why are we doing that? Are we trying to sell an app, an exercise app to each other? I don't think so. I don't know why we're doing that. Maybe we're just programmed to say stuff like that. But I want to put a challenge forth. This is the first night of ladies' conference. We're going to be going out to eat several times. We're going to be enjoying muffins and quiches. And when I come and get a quiche tomorrow, I don't want you to tell me, oh, and Faith, it's low fat. Don't tell me that. I didn't ask that. I didn't ask. Write in your name right next to my illustration, Natalie. Right there. It's in my lesson now for next time. One time there was this lady named Natalie at Hopewell. It's in there. It's in there. Can I put forth a challenge, though, for these next 3 days? Let's just not comment on what people are eating or ordering or not. Let's not make someone feel bad for not ordering ice cream so I can feel better for ordering ice cream. Let's just let them do their thing. Can you just write this down? Order your cake and eat it, too. Mic drop right there. I would just like to put forth that challenge. Now, you're going to go out to eat, and the food is going to come, and it's going to be very awkward because you're not going to know what to say. You're just going to sit there. And some of you are going to say, well, we can't say anything because Miss Faith said not to say anything. You're saying something. You're saying something. You know what you can say in that awkward? You can say, yum! You can do that when you see the food. But let's just not get in everybody's business about their body. If it's not your body, it's not your business. Okay? When it comes to food. When it comes to judging. Okay? That felt so good. Can't even tell you. Let's go on to number 5. Let's look at Proverbs 11:22. Read this with me. I love this verse. It's hilarious. Picture it as you read it, okay? Ready? Begin.
As a jewel of gold in a refiner's mouth, so is a fair woman in her
husband. I think I'm having a hot flash right now. Okay. Appropriate words. Appropriate words. Sometimes a thought comes in our head and we just let it fly. Out it comes. Look. Pause. Think menopause and pause. You think, Faith, you're making a lot of menopause jokes for not going through menopause. I understand that, okay? But I'm getting ready. Pause. Appropriate words. And by the way, is it even appropriate to talk about menopause when there's men in the room? Probably not. But right before I came up, I said, Dad, can I make some menopause jokes? And he said, I don't care. So I have permission. I have permission. I had more inappropriate ones, but I crossed those out because I was like, how am I going to teach point 5 and tell that joke? So appropriate words. And ladies, I taught teen girls for 16 years. This last year, we got a new youth pastor and wife, and I am not teaching my class anymore. It's heartbreaking. However, I'm going to therapy and just sitting in a Sunday school class and being fed, and it's wonderful. But I have seen that more and more teen girls and young girls are talking crass and slang and dirty. We have got to teach our young ladies to talk like a lady. To talk like a lady. Growing up, I used the word blasted a lot. I used pirate talk. You know, I just hit my blasted foot. I used to say that all the time. Mom knows that. I think it's the middle child in me just wanting to shock people. That was not ladylike. That was not ladylike. We need to be teaching our young ladies by teaching them and by example to use appropriate words, not just letting it fly. Not everything needs to be said. Some people are like, well, I'm just being honest. No, we're being foolish with our words. We're being foolish with our words. You say, Faith, I really wish you'd tell us how you really feel. I'm trying. There are two groups of ladies in every church. I don't know every lady in here, but I believe there are two groups in every church. We have the ladies who throw words around in hurtful ways. Contentious, negative, stirring up trouble, critical, picking at family, at their pastor. We have those ladies. And it is not just the loud ladies. Do you know, loud ladies get in a lot more trouble, right, for what they say because everyone hears it. But quiet ladies can be very critical too. A little snide comment, a little negative comment, a text. It's all the ladies. So some people are in that category, and maybe if you think about the relationships you have and the people you talk to, you can think, yeah, I've been picking at people. I've been critical. I've been hurting. But there's another group of ladies, and those are the ladies that hold on to their good words. Paul, the last slide there, number 6, is our last point. Read this verse together, would you? Ready, begin. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Some of us come to church, and we sit in our pews, and we are so blessed. We listen to the preacher and we just think, oh, we have such a good preacher. We listen to the music and we think, oh, that song was so good. And we take our happy, joyful, blessing feeling and do-do-do-do-do, we bring it home. And the Bible says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. I believe we should be coming into our churches every single service with a good word. And we're looking, who are we going to pass it on to? Who needs this good word? I'm going to give it to you since you're sitting on the aisle. And once we give away that word, do you know what is wonderful? There's an infinite supply of good words to pass out. And you think, well, you know, that person sings in church all the time. I'm sure she gets compliments all the time. No. No. Your pastor doesn't get encouraging notes all the time. The pianist only gets noticed when she's absent and everybody has to sing a cappella or acapulco. I don't know what the word is. No, they're not getting encouragement all the time. What if we came into churches, and I'm making this up, this is not your scenario, but I come in and I say, I see you come into church every Sunday with your kids, and I just want to know your faithfulness encourages me. What if we come over here to this mom and say, you're doing such a great job with your teenage daughter? Do any moms think they're doing such a great job with their teenage daughters? No. I don't think it hurts to encourage her. Maybe she can be overly encouraged and go, and has an overdose on encouragement. I don't know. But I doubt it. And maybe we go over to this person and she just lost a loved one. And we actually write her a sympathy note or a text. And you say, oh, but Faith, I don't know what to say. Think of something. Google what to say in a sympathy note. Say something. Maybe they come to church for the first time after losing a loved one, and you give them a hug and say, I don't know what to say, but I love you and I'm praying for you. I think that's good. What if when our teenage daughter came home, and she's got all this drama and all these hormones and all these issues, we could pick at her all day long. And what if we said, you bring me so much joy? What if we did that? What if we just looked at the people in our lives and said, I'm giving them a good word today. And we were looking for these things. I wonder... what it would do for our homes, what it would do for our heart when we are looking to give out the good words. We've heard wisdom from God's word today. What needs to change? Guaranteed, we're not doing it all right. We're not doing it all right. We could pass out more words. You can't run out. What if you said, my decision is, and I'm writing it down, my decision is, every day this year, could we do that? I'm going to text one encouraging text. Or what if we said every church service, I'm giving away 5 good words. What if we did that? What if we did that? I have a theory that if we give out more good words, we will give out less wrong ones. I think maybe that's the answer in helping us control our tongue, is consciously, on purpose, giving out the good words. Do we need to use less foolish, thoughtless, unkind words, or do we need to start purposely giving out good words? Let's pray, but we're not done. Heavenly Father, thank you for these ladies, for their attention, for your wisdom. With heads bowed and eyes closed, who will say, Faith, I need to stop giving out the wrong ones. I see an area in my life, and I'm making that decision today to stop giving out the wrong words. Will you raise your hand and be honest? I'm going to make a decision tonight. Okay, you can put your hands down. Who would say, Faith, I don't know if I have a big problem with the first one, but I'm going to purposely start handing out good ones. Would you raise your hand if you're making that decision? Thank you. Heavenly Father, it's easy to make a decision, but I pray that we'll go home and make a difference in our lives. I pray that you'll give us the strength to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you move, I want you to take out your cell phone. We're not going to have an invitation, but we're going to put into practice what we just learned. Okay, I want you to take out your cell phone. You say, Faith, I don't bring my cell phone to church because I'm so much better than everybody else. Okay. Then rip out a note page, and you're going to write a note. I want you to look through your contacts, and I want you to choose one person to send an encouraging text to right now. Melanie, will you play some texting music, please, while we do this? Well, wait. Can be short, can be long, can be full of emojis. One person in your phone. And if you don't have your phone, you can write a little note if you want or decide to do this later. How much we use our phone for us? Do we ever use it for other people? Send a little text message. There might be people in this room that get a text message. One encouraging text. You think people get compliments and praise all the time. They really don't. Okay, raise your hand if you sent one. Did you send one? Oh, good, you're fast typers. Some of you are like, I cannot see my phone. I forgot my password. Okay, gonna give you about 10 more seconds to send that. Didn't that feel good to send that? Didn't that feel good? All right, thank you, ladies.